Wilmette. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Andy's now one of my drinking buddies, and I actually thought I had stopped having drinking buddies a couple of years ago, and most of them died.
Yeah, I fooled you.
Yeah, you did. You did, and now we're in this for the long haul. This is, as I told you, just a charming book. It is filled with what are called recipes. I have never cooked anything in my life. And I have not cooked anything in this, but my dear friend Kathy Murray has cooked a number of things in here. When did you become a chef, young man?
Well, you know, there's a lot of French guys who say you're not a chef until you lose a couple fingers.
I'm looking.
I started working in the restaurant business when I was 11 years old. I was covering for a friend of mine who was working at the corner restaurant, and he said, would you bus tables for me? Otherwise, I'm going to lose my job. And, well, I started busing, and I decided I like it because you got fed right away in the morning.
Yeah, that was when it was unlike being a caddy. You and your brothers were all caddies at Indian Hill Country Club for a while, and you had to buy your own hot dogs.
Buy our own hot dogs. Well, you had to get out first, and since I was one of the youngest caddies at the time, I was one of the last guys to go out and...
You have since gone on to run the kitchens at many fine restaurants, but also to start with other members of your family, the Caddy Shack. I'm going to call it an empire, even though it's only two restaurants.
Murray Brothers Caddy Shack, it's an empire in our minds, yes.
When you first started that, Andy, the first one was in St. Augustine, Florida, the oldest city in America. Was it hard to convince your siblings to get in this business? The restaurant business, you would know better than anybody. The restaurant business is an insane
business. Oh, you got to be crazy to be in it.
Exactly.
And 80% of restaurants all fail within, the first year. The first person I called was my good friend, Mac Haskell, and he jumped on board right away. And then, the trick was, talking Billy into it.
Yeah.
And I had one conversation. He goes, oh, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. All right. Yeah. I'll do that. Yeah.
What did he have to do, though? He just had to sort of
write a check.
Oh, okay. Billy being Bill Murray, the family call refers to him as Billy. I told you that I interviewed him when he wrote his first book, too. We were at the Billy Goat, and he wrote a book about golf, and you still sell it at...
We still sell it at the restaurant, and when he comes into town, I get him to autograph some copies, and they jack up the price a little bit.
Do you think of yourself as the leading author of the Murray family?
Well, Brian wrote Caddyshack,
That I know.
So it's like, am I an author? Who else has written a book in my family? Anyone? Billy? He's the lead. Yeah, he's the first one. I'm just following in his footsteps, I guess.
One of the hallmarks of this book is it is filled with absolutely charming family photos, charting. Even Billy looks good here on this page.
He's got all his hair in that picture.
He looks very good. So, well, you have all yours sitting in the studio. Talk to me about your parents, Lucille and Edward. They seem like, in almost every picture, an incredibly joyful couple.
Oh, they were really, really they were funny, very funny to begin with. My dad was very funny. My mother was funny. My father had a very dry sense of humor, and my mother had this great laugh. And, the story goes, if you could make my dad laugh at the dinner table, you were doing good.
Yeah.
And mom, she just smiled. And, my dad died very young. At 46, and mom just, she kept smiling, kept laughing.
Which I think, Andy, is a remarkable thing, given that there were nine children.
It was, when my father died, it was like we had a family meeting. It was like right out of, with Clifton Webb and Myrna Loy, Cheaper by the Dozen. And my mom at the head of the table saying, all right, well, we're going to have to stick together, and we're going to pull together, and we're going to make this work. And we're going to be cutting some corners. And, she tried She tried to change some food things that didn't go over real well. And actually, she was the first one to say, no, 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 we won't be doing that anymore.
Now, she says, and you admit that she was not a great cook.
She wasn't, she went to cooking school. She did go to cooking school, and before she got married, she went to French cooking school. My father went to carving school. So, mom could cook, but, after my dad died, it was always, she was coming home late from work, and we were cooking more than she was.
Well, one other thing you tell me, and we can continue on after a short commercial break, is that you got lucky in some ways because you got an astonishing offer while you were backstage eating the free food in the green room at Saturday Night Live. We will continue on, and you'll hear that story. Again, the name of the book, it's easy to remember, Eat, Drink, and Be Murray. It makes a perfect holiday gift. Perfect. We'll be back. The great Jen Weigel, whose name you know and whose personality you know from having been on this station and many other stations in town, is Andy Murray's good friend and was an essential aid in creating this book, because Andy has told me, and he's not loath to admit that he doesn't know how to type, which makes it really sort of interesting to write a book. The book came together in a kitchen. Basically, the book was launched, kind of, was it not, Andy, in a kitchen at a Thanksgiving?
Well, I was cooking Thanksgiving dinner at my brother Billy's house in Charleston, and it had started, he said, why don't you come on up and cook Thanksgiving. It's only going to be about 6-8 people. And so I get up there, and there is like no food in this house. And I said, we got to go to the store. So we go to the store, and I'm going up and down the aisles, grabbing stuff, grabbing what I needed. I find this beautiful, 12, 14-pound turkey, throw it in. And he stops me. He goes, that's not big enough. I went, you only said there's 6 or 8 people. Well, we got to make sandwiches. I said, well, we could get a turkey breast. Well, we'll get a turkey breast, too. But so he finds this girl butcher at the Harris Teeters in Charleston, and comes back, and he's got a 26-pound turkey. And so I get back. Next morning, I start cooking this thing, and I'm just, it's hot down there. It's, I'd come out of Chicago, and the weather had just, it'd gotten warm. But so this very attractive woman comes in and sits down and starts watching me cook. And I'm thinking, oh, great, she's going to help. I need some help. I could, can you chop something? Can you? No, I don't do any of that. And she just watched me nibbling on things that were, I'd throw her some food. And at the end of the meal, she looks at me and she goes, that was the most beautiful turkey I've ever seen. I think you ought to write a cookbook. And I was like, what did you get that I didn't get?
Yeah.
So, but it ended up being Karen Duffy, the MTV VJ, Duff. Mm-hmm. And she said, you need to talk to my agent. He's really good. He can get you a deal. And I was like, I got my hands full right now.
I can't type.
I can't type.
I can't type.
I got bad handwriting. So I said, after the new year. Well, let's talk about after the new year. And she, she pursued it for a little while, and then the COVID hit. And so everything got shut down. And during this period of time, I met 3 different people who
said the same thing.
Who said, you ought to write a cookbook. They told me, you're going to write a cookbook.
Huh.
And I was like, so I called Duff back, and I said, Duff, can I still talk to your agent?
Yeah, what was the name of that agent?
Yeah. David Vigliano.
Yeah.
No. He's a good agent, but she said, "Oh, I talked to him already. He's really excited about it. He wants to talk to you." And so I called him up, and he goes, "Well, put a proposal together." And I called up Jen. I said, "I can't type.
Help
and,
me!"
And I knew she had written multiple books.
Oh,
sure. And she was a writer. She'd written for newspapers and been on the radio. I said, "Oh, this would be perfect."
It's a great collaboration, and you thank her very nicely in the book. The book's dedicated to Mom and Dad, who gave me life, and to my son, Drew, who gave my life purpose. Drew, you have told me, is the best golfer in the insanely golfing Murray family.
He really is.
Which is something to be. They're a great story. One of the things about this book, Andy, is each recipe comes with a story, not a story about, you know, how you invented French toast, but when you first made it, and it's embellished by stories from your siblings that are quite germane to the recipes. That's a brilliant way to do this because it makes it. It gives each recipe an impact beyond what just a recipe can deliver, even if it's the greatest recipe.
Yeah, recipes can be pretty bland sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, there's not a whole lot in this book that, you know, that's really hard to make.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a pretty simple book. It's very much comfort food. The stories and the food mix real well together.
What is the most complicated? I mean, you have here a Lucille's salad, which is not very complicated.
Mm-hmm. But it's good.
Baked
it's
beans.
Really good.
Caddyshack golf balls is a very interesting and, I would have to say, unique
dish. It's more labor-intensive than hard. It's, you know, it's mashed potatoes and cheese and bacon, and you fry them. Like, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. There's also, speaking to our burgeoning relationship, the 19th hole cocktails.
The 19th hole, the Bloody Bowl, is really, that's a wonderful, wonderful hangover drink. When I was working at this restaurant, Mortimer's in New York, there's a famous story, it was an urban legend about the guy who had 27 in one day. He came in for Sunday brunch, and he stayed from 11:30 till like 7:30, and he had 27 Bloody Bowls.
Tell me about Mortimer's and Frank Sinatra, because that's a great recipe. That's a great recipe, but it's a great story too.
We did a lot of Mortimer's. Was a real society hangout. It was like the corner saloon for all these people with money: Jackie Onassis and Brooke Astor and Bill Blass.
You have Bill Blass's meatloaf recipe.
Bill Blass's meatloaf is really good. Now I forgot the question.
Sinatra.
Sinatra, of course. So Red Buttons called up and said, I want to have a dinner party. Frank Sinatra, he's playing at the Garden, and I want to have a small, intimate dinner party. And so we made rack of lamb for his group. It was just a dozen people. And so they come in, and they sit down, and they start bringing out food. And I guess Barbara Sinatra asked the waiter, and the waiter says, we're having lamb. She goes, she walks in, she goes to the back of the kitchen, and she goes, my husband and I, we don't eat lamb. Can you make something else? So we said, Dover sole? And she said, that would be perfect. So,
yeah.
Point to the fish guy. We need two Dover soles, and we need them good.
Yeah.
So they go out, they're all boned, they're beautiful, they come back. You know, end of the meal, Sinatra is at the door of the kitchen. He goes, who made that fish? I point to John Marsh, and he goes, that was one hell of a piece of fish. Hands him a $100 bill, and then starts handing 50s out to everybody else in the kitchen. And there were about a dozen of us that night. I was like, well, this is cool. And so when he was leaving, there was a side door to the restaurant. We all ran around on 75th Street to the front on Lexington Avenue, and all cheered him as he left. And he was like, thank you, thank you. It was pretty cool.
That's a great story, but there are times in the life, I would imagine, of a chef that are overwhelmingly taxing and busy and not so pleasant. Give me the state of chefs in America these days. There seems to me to be, Andy, a real push toward the celebrity chef, and I think Anthony Bourdain is perhaps responsible for that. And
well, I think there were some guys before Anthony. You know, at one point, you know, when Anthony came out with that first book of his, and blasting the restaurants in New York.
Yeah,
there were a lot of cooks in New York who did not like Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
And it's like, but then, you know, all of a sudden he's Saint Anthony. There's not enough chefs, cooks, period, right now. Everybody is scrambling to find some help. Everybody's paying top dollar. Really top dollar for these guys.
Do you think of yourself, before we take a break and you'll come back, do you think of yourself as a celebrity chef? Has that ever entered your mind? or as a working chef?
I've always been a working chef.
Yeah, that's how you come off in the book. I get it.
You know, it's celebrity. Well, I know enough celebrities. I just do my job.
My brother's a celebrity.
Brothers as celebrities. I just keep my head down and do the job.
Celebrities. That is the voice of Andy Murray, the author of Eat, Drink, and Be Murray, A Feast of Family Fun and Favorites, with a foreword by Bill Murray, a foreword. It took some time to deliver, but that's another story. We'll be back to talk a little bit more in a couple minutes. Andy Murray, with a close friend and many of his siblings, started the Caddyshack Restaurant Empire, is what I call it, with two outposts in St. Augustine, Florida, and one in Rosemont. It is an astonishing thing to keep a restaurant in business for 20 years. It's basically impossible. So if you want to, and you can, sample Caddyshack golf balls, you go to page 45 of his charming, charming, and I think very meaningful book, Eat, Drink, and Be Murray. It is Andy's book with a foreword by his brother, the actor named Bill, and embellished by stories from all of his siblings. You have to. If you haven't already, be really proud of this thing. And just to pull it together, I mean, just with Jen Weigel's help.
Well, you know, if you look up procrastination, you'll see a picture of me.
I thought you'd see a picture of Bill. But
well, that
picture of we're like two twins, brothers, you know? Yes.
But, yeah, it really was a labor of love, though.
But you also, it's a labor of love that rises out of family. I think that's the real charming thing about it.
My family is very tight, and we're still all very good friends.
You said you talk to your siblings at least, all of them, at least once a week, right?
We try. Really try.
Wow.
And, you know.
Someday
if not, we're texting each other.
Someday he will write a book. His next book may be about the golf trip some of the family took to Ireland that he told me about Thursday night while we were having Oysters Rockefeller at that culinary capital called the Dublin Bar.
The Dublin
Grill.
They were really good.
I know. You were impressed.
I was very impressed.
From a tiny, tiny, tiny kitchen. People are not going to learn how to become great chefs by reading your book, Andy. They're going to learn something about relationships. They're going to learn something, I think, about the meaning of food and how food and food festivities can be a bonding experience.
Oh, food makes everything better.
Yeah.
You know, when the Cubs lost was it the second game at Wrigley? Or was it the third? And Billy was a wreck, and we had to get out of there. And people were just hassling him, and we ended up getting one of those pedicabs.
Yeah.
And it was Billy, me, and my brother John. And there were so this guy was pedaling like 600-700 pounds. He got about $500 tip, so that was all right. But Billy goes, "Where should we go?" I said, Let's go get some steak. Let's go to Gibson's." And he goes, "Well, why Gibson's? They got a really nice steak." And we went in there, and Gibson's was wonderful. And they sat us in the back, and Billy looks up to the waiter and goes, "Well, how are the Gibson's at Gibson's?" And so we started drinking Gibson's and ordering steak, and pretty soon everybody's happy. So food can fix everything.
And this book can lead you in that marvelous, marvelous direction. Again, it's Eat, Drink, and Be Murray, A Feast of Family Fun and Favorites. It is by Andy Murray. It's his first book. I think there is in the couple. I think there's another book in you, whether it is a full cocktail book featuring your buddy Rick.
Holiday Inn. I don't know. I'm working. I'm, trust me, our minds are just they're just rolling.
You will, ladies and gentlemen, over the next few months before and during the holidays, see Andy on television shows and hear him more on radio. I'm grateful to know you, and thanks, Jen.
It's been a treat. It really is. I hope to continue our relationship.
We will. We will. Thank you. You two have fun wherever it is you're going now. And
eat, drink, and be blurry, I think.
I remember this. Someone would go, "Have you ever not had drinks with Andy Murray?" I'd go, "Yeah, there was one Sunday night on the radio."
On the radio, yes.
Andy, congratulations. It's a hell of a book.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.